This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
NordVPN are supporting the My Old Man Said podcast by offering listeners a bumper deal where you can get an extra 4 months free on top of huge savings if you want to ensure the privacy of up to 6 devices while you are browsing, and also change your virtual location. NordVPN allows users to watch sporting events, films, and TV shows that aren't available in their region by switching their location to a country where they can watch it. Perfect for those untelevised English football 3 p.m. kickoffs, or in Villa's case, those Sunday 2 p.m. kickoffs. To grab our exclusive discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/moms. You'll also get 4 months off for free, and there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. You'll find the link in the episode description notes. Thank you very much. Bienvenue dans la mission podcast de My Old Man Said. Je m'appelle David.
Michael.
Your host, I don't know what that is in French, and the editor of My Old Man Said. Welcome to Europa Vision. Joining me to discuss, it's through a different lens now, the first leg of Lille, and to preview the second leg, all things Europa Conference League, Mr. Armin Mazoyan.
Hello, happy I'm Mr. Armin Mazoyan. What did you say I didn't bring? Was it Vorfreude?
Vorfreude, yeah.
I'm bringing a lot of that today.
The German term for eager anticipation, I think, is a word that doesn't exist in English.
Funnily enough, but it does now. It does today.
But there's two walks of life in this Villa season. It's post 2-0 at the Emirates and pre 2-0 at the Emirates. It's all changed now. The landscape completely changed. All myths and logic that you thought, like, oh, we've got a small squad. Oh, we've lost Boubacar Kamara. We can't defend anymore. Oh, no, we've lost Douglas Luiz as well. We're doomed. We don't need any of those guys. Sell them. 100 million each. Sell them.
Start again.
Sort out financial fair play in an instant. We do have a squad. You'll also notice that when we had a major injury, Mings, he got replaced. Clement Longley. When Buendia was lost, they got in Zaniola. And also, Jacob Ramsey, in came Morgan Rodgers. So it's not as if we're like men down in terms of numeric value. And so we're well placed, I think, in that respect. Of course, you want to keep your original players. But anyway, let's not digress from the task at hand. Second leg quarterfinal against Lille. The first leg was in the context of coming after a game we surrendered up against Brentford.
Yeah.
When we were 2-0 up, went to 2 down, and then got a late equaliser. And so you're thinking, when Lille scored that goal, you're thinking, ah, shit, we've done the same thing here. And Lille looked good.
Very good.
The best team we've played in this tournament, and I would venture the best team apart from Aston Villa left in this tournament. This should really be the final, judging on what we've seen across the other other teams. But now in the context of the Arsenal game, I mean, I said on something for the weekend, regardless of whether you beat Arsenal or not, it was almost like the perfect dress rehearsal for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're playing a team that is technically slick as well, of a very good level, and you're away from home. And the first thing I tweeted after the Lille game was, at least we've got some defensive practice against Arsenal to come.
Yeah.
So in that respect, it was perfect. But the way it went, the way it ended up, it's in terms of confidence and it's like rejuvenation. It was, it couldn't be more perfect, could it?
No, and more unexpected. That's not to be negative, but I didn't think we had a chance in hell on the weekend. And if I'm honest, after the Lille game, I think McGinn summed it up very well in his tweet. I think he said something along the lines of, the atmosphere felt a bit flat at the end there, but just remember, this was a very good team that we beat. And
yeah.
I felt flat after that game, because not only because they scored, but because they had so many chances. They really carved us open a few times. And I just thought, well, away, this isn't going to go well. But as you say, this Arsenal result, it's the first time I think we've played that way since Man City at home, where I've just thought, oh my God, like, who am I watching here? How are we doing this?
Yeah.
And I can only...
Well, the main thing, it's actually changed your persona. I mean, that's the first test, just the result and the performance. You used to be a miserable son of a bitch.
I've been
transformed.
I have. One of the best examples of generally my mood at the moment was my wife telling me she was playing with our child on the floor, not really interested in football. And she said, I've never seen you that happy before in your life. And that kind of bad for her at that moment. But I ran across. I was watching it with my dad, who's an Arsenal fan. So I ran across.
Even sweeter,
even better. I was doing. It was like a double-handed fist pump, but machine gun. So like continuous and just
in his face.
Child was scared. Had never seen anything like it. Teabagged
him.
Not until he fell asleep. No. But no, I don't know. It meant a lot, because I really dislike Arteta. I really dislike Arsenal. But more importantly, it's us back to life. It's the Champions League dream. Top four really kicked back into life from near death. It feels like, and I think bringing this back to the Lille game, suddenly you're going there and you think, yeah, you will beat these fuckers. We can do it. Like, we've just beaten Arsenal. Arsenal have gone into this top first place for form, and we were 15th, and we've just outplayed them. So we
outplayed them in the second half. Yes. I mean, let's not get claret and blue goggles on.
You're right, but we also smashed the inside of the post.
You get Arsenal fan TV and they're saying, oh, absolutely crap, there, we were shit, when Arteta actually said the first half was as good as they've played all season.
I don't agree it should have been 3-4-0, like he said. Well, if you ignore the fact we hit the inside of the post and nearly hit the other post, I mean, you can't get closer to the bar and the post.
And the post in one go, we hit the post. So there was only one, my interpretation of a 3 or 4-0 was Villa were closer to that than they were. So I don't know what he was talking about.
So yeah, it meant a lot.
I mean, in terms of another overall feeling, obviously, it was nothing to do with the Europa Conference League. It was the fact that Newcastle had done us a solid and dismantled Spurs 4-0. So that set up the Arsenal thing beautifully in terms of the Champions League context. But going back to the Europa Conference League, which obviously we are concerned with here, when you look back after the game in hindsight as a whole, then to beat a team that, I mean, let's not forget, Martinez made the most saves of any keeper in the quarterfinals first leg across the board. And that tells the true story here. He was the man of the match, and Lille could have won that game easily. They could have, if they got first blood, I think they win that game. So when you look back at it as a whole, to take one goal lead to Lille after kind of discovering how good they were, we knew they were good, but perhaps they were better than we anticipated, is a positive result. But then, you know, Lille weren't playing at the weekend, so what else are they going to do but watch the Arsenal-Villa game?
Yeah.
So they're going to have watched that and gone, ah, shit. Actually, yeah. Villa are better than we thought they were from playing them in the first leg. So mind games, perfect.
Well, it couldn't have gone better, because we said last week, if we go to Arsenal and get spanked, you're going into this second leg feeling a bit depressed, aren't you? Whereas, I mean, I think that the players seem to mimic a lot of how the fans feel.
Also, if Spurs had taken something from Newcastle and then Arsenal had beaten us, and then you're looking back at what happened with the coefficient teams in terms of the English results, and you're thinking, well, fifth's not going to be good enough, so fucking hell, what's the point of winning the Europa Conference League if that's just going to get you Europa League. It looks like that's where we're going to end up. It's all a bit stinking. That's why, you know, a lot of Villa fans, it's night and day how we feel now after what Newcastle did, what we did to Arsenal. So it's now we're looking at the rest of the season, you know, like Spartans, like bring it on, let's go.
Yeah, well, in the home leg though, to say that Lille had chances, but so did we. And I actually didn't think we offensively, we were really good. I thought Watkins was really, I think he's looking livelier and a bit more ruthless. Like he looks like he's kind of giving up the little nice boy tag and he's just now trying to, he's just speaking his mind.
Yeah, that second goal was a good example of that. I get the one against Arsenal was a very good example of what you're talking about, because he even said himself in that interview that, you know, he might not have got that before.
Mm-hmm. And he needs that, because I think this year, as you know, on social media, if you ever criticize a player, especially one who scored as many as Watkins has, I still think he's deserved criticism at times, because at United, in the second time we played them, he missed some chances. And it's only because you know what he's capable of.
Yeah.
He should be putting those chances away. And it's okay to say that he, you know, if Martinez drops the ball in his net, you'll criticize him. If Ollie Watkins misses a one-on-one, I think it's fair to say he should have put that away. But he's just, it's the last two games, he's reminded me of the Watkins that played against Newcastle last season, where he just looked untouchable. He looked confident. He's running at people. He's scaring them.
It's all about being a bit more ruthless, and confident and ruthless. And that's, you know, that's why his penalty taken is about, you know, it's 50-50 before we took the job off him, because he just lacked that kind of, I said nastiness, but that's not the right word. It's just that ruthlessness, that
confidence,
trust in his instincts. Because as you know, Phil Shaw always used to say, when he's got no time to think about it, it's normally in the back of the net. If it's one on one and he's got to think about it, then the more time he's got to think, i.e., when he takes a penalty, that's when things go wrong for him. So if he trusts his instincts and you know backs himself and he's aggressive, he normally comes up trumps, and it's going to be a big player in the second leg. In terms of where Lille are at, I mean, they've been on, this is the first time anybody's beaten them for eight games?
It was nine, including the European games,
Yeah, nine including the Europa League game. So that's put a dent in them, at least psychologically, that we are a team to fear. But pretty much what happened to us at the weekend when we went up a place and suddenly improved our position by not even playing until we played Arsenal. Similar, they had a weekend off, as did all of the three French teams, due to the French Football Federation wanting to help French teams in terms of the coefficient placing. So well done to them for being that progressive, although it looks like that...
it's hindering them.
I wouldn't have swapped... Well, it's not hindering them, because we'll find out in the second leg, but I wouldn't have swapped, in hindsight now, I wouldn't have swapped that not playing the Arsenal game. Like, we'll postpone the Arsenal game for you. I'd rather play the Arsenal game, because it's transformed us mentally, totally.
Yeah, completely.
But in terms of where they sit, they were fourth, they still are fourth, but now they've got a game in hand on Brest, who are now 4 points above them. They're 3 points behind Monaco, but they've played the same. So in terms of the running, they're still looking to lock in a top three place, which is guaranteed Champions League. I think where they are now, is fourth spot in France, is that
it's
the playoffs?
It's a playoff. You have a playoff, I'd say overall they're just in a similar position to us, where they've got one eye on this game, knowing it's going to be hard, but they've also got the bigger prize, and it is the bigger prize, is playing in the Champions League. But they've done it before. For us, it's, you know, it's just something we've not done in this format. So
when you say bigger prize, I think it's, that's just financial though, isn't it, really? I mean, I still think when you look at the record books, if we win this tournament, even if it's third tier, we'll always remember it, and the memories will be there for people who went to Athens and, you know, also watching it wherever. If we get into the Champions League and, you know, we get in the group stages or whatever, you know, you look back in 20 years and say Villa go back into a cold winter like we've been in for the last two decades, nobody really, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we're in the Champions League once.
There's that, but I guess
the context
memory
of winning it in 82, it's...
I think the reason I say that is a couple of things. First of all, I just would love to hear the Champions League theme and watch Villa kind of playing against a Barcelona or someone like that. I've never had the chance to see it in my life. Atletico Madrid's probably the biggest team.
But at the same time, it's crucial to be in the Champions League if we want to forge, I mean, the owners are all about it, and if we want to forge into and break into that top six cartel, we need to be in there, because that will, if we don't get in it, we're going to have to compromise, and we're probably going to have to sell a player or two top talent. But if we get in it, then we can build and continue, you know, forward.
Exactly. If the ultimate aim is to win the league one day, then I think you need to, you need the money to compete. And that's, I guess, we should all be aiming.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
For that.
But also, if you get into the Champions League, this has been a perfect exercise in getting the players used to be, you know, playing twice a week, playing in Europe, traveling, playing, you know, away in Europe, getting up for Premier League games after, which we've done pretty well. I mean, West Ham have really struggled both seasons.
Yeah.
It's really compromised their league form. We have taken it really well because we've got a manager and staff that know how to do it. So in terms of prepping us for the Champions League, it's been a great tournament. So do not dilute the importance of this. And I think if we get to Athens and win it, then it's going to rejuvenate us. And if we've also qualified for the Champions League, then, I mean, we're going to be feeling as good as any Villa fan has felt since we lifted the European Cup in 82.
Exactly.
So back to Lille.
Yep. One interesting thing I read is that Unai Emery has won his last seven quarterfinals. So that, I know it doesn't mean anything, but was it the investment thing? Previous performance isn't an indicator of future. But ultimately, it's important because he does know what you've said this a few times. He knows what he's doing. He has done this before, and he can win.
So that's what gives you confidence going to Lille. But their home form, as we've discussed in a previous Europa Vision show, is the best in France.
Yeah.
It's better than PSG, who are prone to a draw or two at their gaff.
Yeah, it's a game that we very well could go there and lose. We have to be prepared for that. But again, it's a quarter final. We want to be playing the best teams, and we're playing, I would say, like you said, we said it last week, the joint best or second best team in this competition. So it's like a knockout for I think who's going to win it.
But specifically, in terms of their home form.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at their home form, 14 played, won 10, drawn 3. Lost one. The most astounding stat is they've only conceded 8 goals in those 14 games, which is, I mean, if you want a comparison, PSG have conceded 15. So being defensively tight and resolute has been the backbone to their home form. But I wasn't that impressed with them defensively. I thought Villa could have got more. Sometimes, especially early on, the final pass was a bit loose. And, you know, that's what we, a lot of the time, it gave up possession as well. So we kind of a double conundrum of not hurting them more and then finding ourselves within a blink of an eye on the back foot and in trouble. But what I didn't understand from that Lille performance was how this season they've been so wishy-washy away in comparison. They've only won 3 of 14 away games. Now, to me, they looked like they could have beaten Villa on another night.
But I think it's what we discussed last week, which I said I thought they would come and have, well, they had 11 shots in the end, and I thought they would come and attack. And I guess, as we've seen as well, there is a time and a place to play, you know, one way, and sometimes maybe you have to adjust it. And I guess his reputation, Fonseca, is that he will play the way he plays, and that's that. And I guess if teams set up, maybe not like we did, but close the shop and park the bus or whatever you want to say, call it, maybe they really struggle. I guess we won't find out because I don't see us playing that way, but maybe that's why they're struggling away from home, because they can't break teams down. And we've certainly been on that journey as Villa fans before.
But have they been? I mean, do they play that offensive away from home?
They do. They have lots of shots on goal away from home, so they're always trying to attack and score goals.
If you look at, you know, their possession, I mean, they had 59% of the possession, but, you know, passes 469 versus Villa's 325, so a good percentage more passes, and their accuracy 92%. You know, it's slick what they do. God knows how they ended up with no yellow cards, though. That was just bizarre. The referee just refused to book them for crimes worse than Villa players were getting booked for.
I give up trying to understand referees in any country. In any, it's just bizarre. It feels fixed at the worst of times.
To me, the template is very similar to Arsenal, and because Arsenal don't cross it in, that's why Villa got away with it to some degree, because we've struggled against teams that cross it in. I mean, Lille scored straight from a corner. They only had three corners in that game, which normally get corners from, you know, when you do, let's say, cross it in a bit and it's a bit more 50-50 and, you know, defenders are headering it away for a corner. So I don't mind that, because we've had two games against teams that play this way in very quick succession. So mentally, we should be well drilled for this. Famous last words.
But it felt to me like a Rocky Balboa fight, that game, watching it. It's the Villa-Lille one, because it was just quite end-to-end. Two teams, I thought generally we matched each other really well. I mean, it shows we're in similar positions in the league in terms of trying to get into the Champions League. The standard is good, but we were just both seemed not great at the back and really happy to try and score more goals. So In the away leg, who knows? I think it will be similar.
I mean, it suits Villa if the game is open and stretched 100%, but also it suits us offensively, but defensively, obviously, a bit more of a question mark. Against Arsenal, we're a lot more compact. Midfield, you know, was a lot closer to the back four, and I think we need to be that against Lille. So I think as a template, you just repeat and rinse, don't you, what we did against Arsenal.
An important deciding factor here, and I think you mentioned it in, I can't remember which one I listened to both your recent pods. It was one of them, I think, with Chris, you said probably something for the weekend, that with Emi Martinez, you've always got a chance. And the fact is, you know, there's no need to make excuses for the fact he's making saves. That's what his job is, and he's amazing at it. It's just, I can't believe how good our goalkeeper is at times. I watch it, and against Arsenal, against Lille, he's just like a wall. It must be so frustrating for teams trying to score past him.
Is anything different from Lille this time from when they came to Villa Park? I mean, they've had the weekend off, but Gomez, he's back.
Well, he came off the bench against us in the first leg, so you would imagine he's a key part of the way they play, which I think you'd imagine a week off, he's going to start the next game because it's a big game for them, and it should only help them, and it will make our job harder, because he's been a real kind of revelation under Fonseca. He's got the best out of him, so that's something to look out for. He can play central midfield. He also plays off the strikers as well, at wide at times.
I don't think he's going to change the three they potentially play. Well, the three that they played against us at Villa Park, is he? You'll probably be more midfield.
Yeah, I think he'll likely come in behind the front three. Yeah,
he'll probably start like on the left in midfield alongside Andre.
Bentaleb will be there as well, you imagine. I thought Jonathan David, as I said last week as well, I can't say I was blown away by him again. He reminded me again a little bit of the Ajax striker in the Brobby, in that you'll get the chances, but they've got to put them away in these big games. And I mean, famous last words, hopefully he doesn't do it in the return leg. But again, whenever I've seen him play, I don't think I've ever seen him score a goal. So that I don't know why that is.
Somebody that I think Carlos can handle in terms of pace as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not that concerned. I'm just more the way they played through our midfield last time. And Villa just need to be a little bit more compact, which I think they will be, just playing from home, away from home. Mm. And let's not forget, in the Premier League, Villa have been they've improved recently. I mean, they are top four in terms of away form. What Villa have dropped in terms of their home form, because they are now, they have the sixth best home record, which is ridiculous when you considered how we started. But what they've dropped in that respect, they've actually made up in terms of their away form, and they're the fourth best Premier League team, and they've actually got 4 points now on the team in fifth and sixth. Spurs got a game in hand, but they're 4 points behind, and Manchester United have played the same away games and they're on 24. So legitimately, Villa are, and I think they'll probably end the season as the fourth best away team. So that's another plus in the confidence column, knowing that actually we're better away from home than we are at Villa Park at the moment. So when you factor that in, if we beat Lille 2-1 at home, and that was perhaps, if you flip it on the head, an opportunity perhaps for Lille, considering our recent home form especially, because obviously there's like 8 consecutive wins built into this record at the start.
Yeah.
So it's all good on that front. But yeah, I think if we lean in to how we've played against Arsenal, keep it compact and acknowledge, you know, the fact that we've actually got a head start on these guys, then a lot more confident than I was when the final whistle went.
Yeah, the Arsenal game shifted it. I have to say that Emery's and McGinn's post-Lille comments also helped me put it into slightly more perspective and think, okay, the performance wasn't the best defensively. They had chances, but this is a good team and we've just beaten them. And there's no reason why we can't go and beat them away. There's you know, we've got every chance to do it. We just have to tighten up. And I'm sure Emery will analyze how they played and adjust it accordingly. So we've got every chance.
And the bottom line is, the good news is, even though we'll go for the win, we don't need to win. So if we don't get it over the line and it's a draw, then we're through.
Exactly.
And if we get beat one goal, then it's penalties.
And we've got just the man for the job.
But we don't want to go into extra time and penalties, just because that's when you've got one eye on the Bournemouth game. And if we can get in and out professionally 2-0 and get back and prepare for Bournemouth, then all is well. Because this is a key week. Every week's been key. But yeah, if you win this, or let's say we get through, and then you beat Bournemouth, Spurs don't play at the weekend, so suddenly you've got a 4-point gap on them. Pressure is on them, and their next game's against Arsenal, Chelsea. If they don't win any of them, then suddenly we're in the semi-finals of a European tournament, and we're looking good. And Europa vision goes on.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.